Every now and then, it's helpful to remind ourselves, why are we here? What is it that we are called to do and to be as individuals and as a congregation? This verse in our New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it's just one verse, but within this verse, there is a whole range of vital information that answers many of those questions for us. Let's start with the very first phrase. It is one that may have some interesting implications for some of you. Some memories may be conjured. I know for me, one memory in particular is conjured. Fight the good fight of faith. The word fight. I was in fifth grade, and someone in our church, his name was Bruce Bry, had been a championship wrestler in college. Got in his head that somehow, as a fifth grader, I was thin and lanky. There were people who called me skinny. I preferred svelte. But Bruce Bry thought I would be a good wrestler because I could get good leverage. This is what he said. So he convinced my dad to make me wrestle for the Red Bank Cubs. It was terrifying. And I was horrible. But I had to do it because my dad thought I should learn how to wrestle and fight. So my first match, you're in a gym with these mats on the floor, and parents and kids are surrounding you, watching you and the person you're supposed to be fighting, wrestling. His name was Brad Engel. So I was thin and lanky, and Brad Engel had been lifting weights since the first grade. And I knew I was in trouble just by looking at him. And I'm standing there across from Brad Engel. The referee is between us, and he's getting ready to start the fight. And Lisa Albritton from my church came walking by. She was beautiful. And I had had a crush on her for a long time. And I heard her say, "Come on, David, fight, win." Did I mention she was beautiful? Have you ever heard of an out-of-body experience? Well, I was processing the fact that A, Lisa Albritton was watching me, B, Lisa Albritton wished me well and told me to fight, and C, Lisa Albritton was beautiful. And I was thinking all these things when somewhere in the background I heard a whistle blow, and I felt my chest implode, and I set a record for the fastest pin in Red Bank history. Brad Engel pinned me in 7 seconds. So the word fight conjures up a lot of negative stuff. It's also a hard word for right now. It's also a hard word throughout Christian history because we have to try to figure out what does this mean exactly? Especially this phrase, this first clause in this larger verse, fight the good fight of faith. Thankfully, the Bible gives us some instructions on what this actually means and how to do it. Because the verse before, verse 11, we're told. And the verb in this verse, Shelley, many of you have heard Shelley talk before about how important verbs are in taking our verses in the Bible seriously. Well, the verb in this particular passage in verse 11, preceding our verse for today, is if you want to fight the good fight of faith, the verb is pursue. Pursue sometimes can mean chase after, run after. But in this case, it means live with, participate in. And then we have a whole list of six tools in our toolbox of what we're to pursue and how we're to live this fighting the good fight of faith out. And the first one is righteousness. The second one is godliness. And the third one is faith. And the fourth one is love. There are two more we're going to talk about in a second, but let's focus on these four. We're to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. Righteousness is a fancy word. It just simply means make right choices. Choose well. Do the right thing. Within the context of this broader understanding that love really offers for us. A few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as the love chapter, the Bible has the audacity to tell us we are to love one another, love our neighbors, and even love the people we're not real comfortable with. In fact, people that we don't like, we're to love them with agape love. Remember, there were eight different choices the people in Greece, speaking Greek and the New Testament, had choices of eight different options for love. Eight different words for love. And the one that they focused in on, the one the Bible uses consistently, that you and I are to love with, is agape, which is the love that is God's love. And this is a crazy thought, to think that we have the power, the ability to love one another with the same love that God loves us with. And the really only way to understand that completely is to see this as God blesses us with God's love to us, not meant to be kept in us, but to be channeled through us. The only way I can love you and the only way you can love me with God's love is to understand ourselves as a channel of blessing, as a conduit of a love that didn't start with us and shouldn't end with us, but is used through us in order to make right choices, do the right thing, to live out godliness and to have faith, is to recognize this incredible truth that God's love is alive in you and me, not to be kept, but to be shared. This is an amazing thing. And to fight the good fight of faith, the Bible takes very seriously, this is not easy. All of us get derailed. All of us get distracted. All of us are human and have the very real capability of getting so angry, the idea of loving someone who has hurt us is absolutely impossible. Which is why the next tool in our toolbox is to have endurance. To recognize this is hard, especially in times when we feel like we are being stepped on, pushed aside, made to feel less than. Endurance. Now, each of these, before our last tool in the toolbox, are vital for fighting the good fight. But the Bible also recognizes in the journey of faith and in the attempt to love others with God's love, how easy it is also to not only get discouraged, but also get a little too proud. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I begin to think a little too highly of myself. I am so glad I am so humble. I am so glad I am so kind. If only other people could see the world like I see the world, everything would be okay. until members of my family say, "You're out of your mind." Which is why the last tool in our toolbox is gentleness. How weird this is. It seems like it makes no sense. Fight the good fight of faith and be gentle? How can you win if you're gentle? Which is important for us to take a moment and recognize the times that we're in and the fascinating parallels of times that have been, where many people like you and me have been very tempted to fight in the way we are being fought against. Well, bullying and cruelty seems to be what needs to happen. Fight fire with fire. When they go low, we go lower. It's understandable. It's very human. It's also not biblical, because it's not gentle. It's not loving with God's love. So there's a difference that we have to make, an important distinction between trying to bring about political change with politics, not to in any way minimize the value or importance of voting, of understanding the power of civic involvement, of educating ourselves on the issues of the day and fully understanding what we need to stand for and what we need to stand against and why. There is a place and a time and a desperate need for every one of us to be civically involved. What the Bible calls us to is partly that, but more importantly, the Bible calls us not just for political change, but for cultural transformation. There's a difference. Cultural transformation happens when people look at other people and say, "I want to be like that. I want to live like them." This is the way the early church literally changed the world. Not by strategic planning for political takeover, but seeing one person and saying, they need to know God loves them. They need to know their life matters. She needs to be lifted up in her time of difficulty. He needs to be supported in his time of great need. One by one, step by step, person by person, the early church just cared for people around them. The result was a desire for imitation. People began to say, "I want to be a part of this group. My, how these Christians love each other. These Christians care about me even though they don't know who I am. These Christians stand with me even though they have never been to my house, never met my family. And yet they're standing with me and for me." This is cultural change that comes with pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Now, this is just one little tiny piece of this larger verse, so we got a long way to go. We got a lot more territory to cover, so I hope you have your lunch plans taken care of. Fight the good fight of faith. Here comes the next part. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and for which you were made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We just learned about the value of the verb pursue. And each of the elements in our toolbox, these tools that we need to use in fighting the good fight of faith. The next portion of this verse, the verb take hold. Now, I'm going to digress for just a moment and talk about my grandson. Our grandson, because Beth is sitting in the back. His name is Robin, and I'm sorry, he's the most beautiful grandson in the world. He just turned 4 months old, and he is taking hold of our fingers and a rattle and things around him. He's starting to figure out that he can grasp things and make a difference because he has some agency that he's discovering. And it's miraculous to watch this unfold. This idea of taking hold of something also conjures memories that Robin has evoked in me of my own kids as they develop like he's developing. And he's not quite yet to that spot where he's opening his arms and reaching out, but he's close. And it reminds me of my children and the incredible moment when they opened their arms and realized, I want a connection with this big person who makes me feel secure and safe and unconditionally loved. This idea of taking hold, this image of open arms and reaching. And what the Bible tells us then is take hold of this phrase, the eternal life. The way this is used in this passage, I love. The word eternal in Greek, which this was written in originally, is aeon, which we have in English, eon, which of course for us means a long, long time. But in fact, in the Bible, aeon means eternal. It goes on. It has no beginning and has no end. Eternal life. The second word is in the Bible, there are two choices for the word life. In the Bible language, Greek, one is bios, which in English we have our word biology. Comes right from this Greek word, and it simply means life, to be alive, to exist. Bios. It's a choice to use for this word, but that's not what is used here. The word is zoe, which also means life, but it's not just existence. It's abundant life. So these two words together, eternal, abundant, life, conjures this incredible image. And Jesus actually worked with this idea in the 10th chapter of Luke. This really smart, important guy comes to Jesus and in front of a bunch of people says, Rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered the question, as good rabbis do, with another question. You've heard me say this before. Maybe the person came up to Rabbi and said, Rabbi, why do you always answer a question with another question? And the rabbi said, why not? Because it helps us learn. It helps us grow. It helps us figure out what it is we need to know. And so Jesus says, well, what do the scriptures say? You tell me. What do you understand it means to inherit eternal life? And the really educated guy said, quoting from Leviticus and from Deuteronomy, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus said, that's exactly right. If you do this, you will. And Jesus used the word zoe. You will come alive. You will experience abundant life. Flourishing in your spirituality. You will experience a connection to this idea of eternal life, connecting us to God. We've already been instructed that we're to love with God's love, which seems impossible until we realize we're connected to that love, not just by the fact that God loves us, but by the fact that we are connected to eternity. We're participants in eternity right here, right now, because we're being loved by God as we speak. And we're given the agency to love with God's love as we speak. Right here, right now. take hold like a little child reaching out of eternal life. And we find out it's not just us reaching up to God, but God reaching out to us. It's a beckon. God calls us to be a part of this thing. This is an amazing reality. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and it's not just that, but also for which you were made. God not only stands with open arms addressing us, beckoning us, inviting us, but we find out we're made of the same DNA for which you were made. You were made for abundant, eternal, flourishing, spiritual, physical, emotional life. It's an incredible recognition that needs to move us beyond ourselves. That is, this isn't just me, and this isn't just you. This is us, which is why it concludes the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, we need to acknowledge this reality together. We need to be in community together to live out this amazing opportunity to be channels of God's blessing and love together. So let's take just a moment and remind ourselves some of the many ways we can do this together. This good confession, sometimes we need to give ourselves opportunities, better opportunities, to live out God's love in creative and good ways. Jesse, just a few moments ago in our mission moment, shared things that our church is doing because we have a missions committee who studies all kinds of options and ways to share our gifts and share our resources and bless those who are struggling in our area. And this opportunity together to be blessings, to confess together, that is, bring our resources together and offer what we can to the needs of the world. Doing together is so much better and richer and more effective than trying to do it by ourselves. I have on this slide Fresh Start Band and our adult choir. Right off the bat, let's just acknowledge the gift of music in helping us feel a sense of God's presence. And what a gift it is that part of the good confession among many witnesses is we've got these really talented people, and Catherine and Cheryl and Daniel and these amazing musicians to help all of us feel a little more connected to our sense of faith and joy and celebration and thanksgiving through the gift of music. This is something that, well, maybe not all of us, but many of us can contribute together in sharing our voices and our gifts as an offering of praise and hope and love. There's also this idea of mission opportunities beyond what Jesse shared. She mentioned hands-on opportunities, and our missions committee has already committed to trying to provide more opportunities for more of us to be more involved, especially as the weather begins to get cooler. We have a whole host of ways that our church can allow God's blessing of us to be a blessing for our community. There are so many things that we need and are doing. I want to share our assistance ministry, and we've got several key volunteers, but Mike Cavalli and Wilson Holland are two that head up this incredible ministry where every Monday morning we have a whole host of folks who, for a variety of different reasons, don't have a place to live. And without a home, especially with really hot weather and really cold weather, this is beyond a tragedy. And our assistance ministry every Monday partners with other organizations throughout our area to try to assist in a variety of different ways and helping people in their needs. We have, in addition, physical opportunities to give warm clothing right now in preparation for cold weather. Coats, warm socks, shoes, blankets, all the different things that all of us enjoy and appreciate when the weather turns cold. And our clothing room, also staffed by a whole range of volunteers, an opportunity for us to serve and to give and to share, to be a part of this good confession among many witnesses, where together we can let God's love live through us. On my right, on your left, you notice this beautiful quilt, and we have a Prayers and Squares ministry where a group of volunteers weekly participate together in creating these beautiful reminders of communal support and prayer, where people literally have these quilts draped over them, covered with knots that you and I have tied because we've been praying for this individual. The power of this cannot be overstated, and many of us have heard people comment about how incredibly blessed they felt by knowing that we called out their name, we prayed for them, and we gave them the gift of this prayer quilt. Another opportunity for volunteering, participating, and celebrating. If you've never been to a Christmas on Claremont, it happens at Christmas on Claremont in this place. And it's an amazing opportunity to share together in the joy of Christmas and the celebration of Jesus' birth, but also the whole reason that Daniel came up with this idea and the vision and now the incredible opportunity to enjoy the Christmas season together was because of doing some kind of ministry-related support. Last year, we had the great gift of being able to support Bright Stars of Bethlehem, where Palestinian children in Bethlehem, the real Bethlehem, are learning how to play instruments and sing and participate in art projects, giving them hope and potential and their own sense of agency and possibility for the future. And our Christmas on Claremont sponsored that opportunity. And from that one event, we raised almost $20,000 in one night. The resources available right now, right here in this room, for making change and allowing God's love to be felt through us is incalculable. And we're so grateful for the many ways that so many of you have been generous with your time and your money. We support First School, which so many of you know is our preschool right behind this building. And we have 150 children every single day showing up, 47 teachers, an incredible ministry, along with First Camp, which is an after-school program that our church, in both cases, has the great privilege of hosting hundreds of people every day in this space and feeling like we are a community hub of hope and faith and acceptance and welcome and love. Across the street, Claremont Oaks, and up the street, Briarcliff Oaks, a number of years ago, some visionary folks in this church realized that affordable senior adult housing was a necessity, and that there were a lot of people who were going to move out of Decatur because they could no longer afford to live here. And thank goodness there was a vision that we could participate together with Housing and Urban Development, a government agency, that together we were able to build Claremont Oaks and Briarcliff Oaks, where today both are filled to capacity with amazing people who are enjoying beautiful places, thanks to the vision that took place a while back. There's so many other things that our church has done and is doing, so many ways for all of us to be involved, and we pledge to you to do a better job of getting out the word of ways to plug in and do well. The final way we can have participation in this good blessing among many witnesses, doing together what we can't do by ourselves, is with financial support. Again, in this space, there is enough financial resource to do everything that needs to be done, that we hope to do, that conveys God's love in this place and beyond in our community and in our world. Now, Ronnie Jowers is sitting here looking at me, and he's waiting for me to say this. So I'm feeling the pressure. And he knows, we've talked about the fact that for me, talking about money from the pulpit is very uncomfortable, and I don't like it. But let's face it, the reality is a church like ours, an organization like ours, a mission like ours cannot function without financial resources. And so please take seriously the incredible gift we have of being together, the remarkable mission that you and I have of allowing the love of God to be in us but not stop there, to be channeled through us into our world by being better Christians, by being better people, better neighbors, better parents, better children, and recognizing that we need to support each other in this mission. So consider your financial support this year as we prepare for next year's budget, as we prepare to plan for the many things that need to be done in our community, the people that need to be assisted and lived with and helped with. You are essential to this mission, to this ministry, to this church, to this community. And what you add to who we are and what we can and must do together is incalculable. So bless each one of you and thank you for what you mean and what you do and what you share. And take seriously together this single verse from one little spot in our New Testament that, if we can get it right, can change the culture. Let us together fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you were made, the good confession in the presence of all y'all and all of us. May it be so. Amen.